chapter 10. We read actually three different instances that we're going to look at here in Mark and then over in Luke chapter 8. If I was to give a title to this particular message, it would simply be, Which Way? Which Way? A quote that I wrote down sort of related to this title is attributed to Abraham Lincoln. Said, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My great concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right." We need to make sure that we're in line with what God wants us to do, and not just try to call down the blessings on the way that we choose to take. We look in the scripture in different places, and I think where I got started with this message when I was putting it together years ago. And how many of you remember me preaching it here? So if I did, it's okay. It's brand new to all of us. It was some time ago when I started thinking about. But often in the scripture, we see the phrase "the way," and the way can mean a bunch of things. For example, in Matthew, you don't have to turn to these. I kind of pointed them out. In Matthew 5:25, it says, Jesus says, "Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him." So while you're traveling with him, while you're still together and associated with him, so that is kind of a definition or an example of being in the way. Another is Matthew 15:32. Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, "I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." Jesus had compassion on these people as they were in the way, as they were traveling. The triumphal entry of Jesus, Matthew 21, it says, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way." The path that Jesus was traveling, the actual physical road that he was on, they called the way. Matthew 21:32, Jesus says about John the Baptist, "For John came unto you in the way of righteousness," or the manner of life, the way that he was presenting himself, carrying himself, was the way referenced here. Acts 19, Paul says that Jesus appeared in the way. It's actually Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way." So that was the road to Damascus. I know there's just a lot of examples, but often mentioned in the way. Acts 18:25, talking about Apollos, says, "This man was instructed in the way of the Lord." So the way here, in the way, is talking about the doctrine that he believed and that he was teaching. But I want us tonight to look at Jesus' way specifically. And you can interpret it a few different ways, which application this way is talking about. But you'll get the picture as we continue on. In Mark chapter 10, we see, I want to say, man's way. Man's way. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Starts, "And when he was gone forth into the way," is that verse that kind of got me started on this message. "And he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. We know all these things are good. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. So Jesus was in the way. He was traveling. This man comes alongside. So if you can picture that, the man comes alongside to join Jesus in Jesus' way. In verse 21, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Most of us are probably familiar with this account in the Scripture. We know what's going to happen, and we're going to look at it a little bit. We know what's going to happen. But I want us to consider for a moment, did Jesus know how this man was going to respond? Did he? Sure he did. He's God. And yet, it says, then Jesus, beholding him, first of all, he looked at him. He saw him. It says, when Jesus, beholding him, loved him. That struck me when I contemplated it, when I meditated on it. Jesus loved me before I came to him. It's part of what drew me. And before we give up on somebody that seems to be rejecting Jesus, can we recognize that that person that's rejecting him, Jesus also loves him? It's really not our position to condemn a person. It's our position, our responsibility to show that love of Christ, to extend that love of Christ to them in hopes of eventually winning them. But Jesus loved this man, even though Jesus knew that he was going to reject him. That hit me pretty solidly when I realized that. Jesus' love is not dependent on our response. Jesus died because he loved us. Then we continue on, and Jesus says, one thing thou lackest. And then he tells this man, go thy way. Now, Jesus wasn't sending him away. Jesus was simply telling him, go thy way. Whichever way he was going to choose. Then he says, sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, and take up the cross and follow me. We know this is a companion verse to Luke 9:23, and Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So Jesus told this man to come and follow him, but he told him to sell whatever he had and give to the poor. Now, at first sight, that may sound like a work salvation. If we sell everything we have and give it to the poor, then we can have eternal life. But I think Jesus was much wiser than this. And Jesus knew that one part of this man's heart that this man did not want to give up. And you know, Jesus knows our heart as well. He knows that one part of our heart that we don't want to let go of. And that's going to be the part that he will address. That'll be the part that he convicts us of, that we need to give over to him. In verse 22, it says, and the man was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. What I want us to see here is Jesus was in his way, and this man came alongside. And Jesus said to go thy way, and this man had a choice to stay in Jesus' way or to go his own way. And he chose his own way. My friend, hopefully none of us here tonight are choosing our own way that is separate from Jesus' way. That's the application to the message. So if you're done listening, I guess you can go home. But Now I want us to look, and we're going to kind of shoot through these other two with a focus on the third one. Over in verse 36 of Mark 10, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho and his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, came by the highway side begging. So here we see again that Jesus was in the way, and blind Bartimaeus heard of him, and he called out to Jesus as his last resort, his last hope of healing. And interesting, Jesus said, verse 51, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, mind you, the same answer that he told the rich young ruler. He said, go thy way. In verse 21, he told the rich young ruler to go thy way. And here in verse 52, he told blind Bartimaeus to go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. And here's where we see a difference in followed Jesus in the way. You see, he did choose a way, but he chose Jesus' way, not his own way. We have that opportunity. We have that choice to follow in Jesus' way. My last challenge, Luke chapter 8. And I wish I could just read the whole thing, but for sake of time, we won't. You're familiar with the account of the demoniac of Gadara who was running in the tomb naked and cutting himself and tormented, and Jesus threw the demons out of the demoniac of Gadara, and they went into the swine and they all went into the water, and the people wanted Jesus to leave. Luke chapter 8. And then it says, verse 35, and they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. We should get this, that when a person finds Jesus, there's going to be a difference. There's going to be a change in their life. If they're clean cut and handled themselves well before they were saved, you're still going to see a difference in their spirit. There's going to be a change there. And how did it affect the people? They were afraid. They knew that there was a power. Verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. Let's stop right there. So this is the third time where we see Jesus in a way. We see Jesus in a particular place, in a particular direction, and somebody came alongside, and here the demoniac that had been saved came alongside and sought to be with Jesus. That's commendable, right? Isn't it good that he wanted to be with Jesus, just like blind Bartimaeus? Jesus told Bartimaeus to go your way, and he went his way, but his way was Jesus' way, which is right on. And here we see the demoniac, and he wanted to be with Jesus. But then kind of a head-scratching phrase in verse 38, but Jesus sent him away. Again, if we just stop there, that sounds kind of strange. He wanted to be with Jesus, and yet Jesus sent him away. So the natural question is why? And this is where the scripture applies to me and you even more so. It definitely applies to a mission conference. So it says in verse 39, the instruction that Jesus gave to this former demoniac, the saved possessed man, he says, return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And then we see again, and he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Jesus wants us to come alongside and to ask, how do we receive eternal life like the rich young ruler? Jesus also wants us to come alongside and choose His way as blind Bartimaeus did and choose to be with Jesus. But you know, then as we grow, Jesus has a job for me and for you. And it's to go away and take the gospel with us to a lost and a dying world that needs Christ. And we can do that around the corner or around the world. Sing that with me one more time. Around the corner, around the world, a soul needs Jesus, a soul who's never heard. Let's take the good news, let's take God's living word. Around the corner, around the world. Thank you for the service tonight. I thank you, Lord, that we're blessed to take the gospel to our next door neighbor, right around the corner in our neighborhood, or indeed, Lord, around the world as you give us opportunity. But just like you told the demoniac, Lord, we are to take the gospel to others. Help us to be faithful and just to follow your direction and stay in the way with you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name.